Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Karen says that over the last several years, this was John's favorite verse in Scripture. It was his theme verse, if you will. One concise verse that describes the goal of his life and hopefully after he is gone, the summary of his life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Not a bad goal, not a bad theme verse for one's life, if you ask me. Truth of the matter is, everyone has a theme verse for their life, whether they realize it or not, whether they can recite it or not. All of us have a favorite verse that describes the goal that we have for our life and the thing that after we die, we hope everyone who knew us would say, yeah, that fits him pretty close. Theme verses, however, don't always come from the Holy Scriptures. They come from a wide range of sources. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Now, there's a pretty common theme verse for a lot of lives. My only desire in life is to be happy. There's another pretty popular one. That one's got a lot of variations to it as well. You can substitute for happy. My only desire is to be wealthy. My only desire is to be successful. My only desire is to be comfortable. My only desire in life is to be loved. That's the theme of their life. And looking back, based on everything they did in order to carry out that theme of their life, everyone, when they die, we'll say, yeah, that pretty well describes who he was. There are also a couple of fairly popular variations on John's theme verse as well. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on being a good person because he trusteth in his goodness. That's a pretty common one. Thou wilt keep him in perfect health, whose mind is stayed on praying hard and long enough because he trusteth in his prayers. Thou wilt keep him in perfect children, whose mind is stayed on following all the right steps for raising perfect children. Everyone's got a theme verse. What's yours? John's was, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I got to know John over the years well enough to know that that was not always John's theme verse for his life. From what he told me, his theme verse was a whole lot closer to those that we have just mentioned than it was to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. But, as he told me several times, he had the incredible fortune of meeting a godly woman who had godly parents, who turned his life around and changed the theme of his life. As he tells it, when he asked Karen's father for his daughter's hand in marriage, Myron said, "Not unless you start going to church, young man." And if you ask me, that's a father's love for his daughter. And as John tells it, he decided right then and there that this would be a good time to start going to church. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Karen said, "I'd like you to preach on that verse." And I'm glad you did. And I'd like for us to get to know this verse a little more in depth, as I've done over the past several days, because in doing so, hopefully we get to know just why it was that this was John's theme verse. First, the context of the verse, because no verse in the scripture stands all by itself. This verse is a part of a group of verses that form a song that the prophet says the people of God would learn to sing in the future. Not a song that they sing in the present, but in the future. In that day, shall they sing this song in the land of Judah? Isaiah is preaching to a people of God for whom that day has not yet come. That day was a day in the future, not in the present. The theme for the life of the people of God in the present was one of hardship and slavery under a foreign power where they lived in exile. Israel was to be conquered and then deported into the land of Babylon, where an entire generation would live and die away from home in slavery. The holy city of Jerusalem would be destroyed along with its temple and the walls of the city. The prophet makes it abundantly clear that this is going to happen because God's people, like sheep, have all gone astray from their shepherd. They have all put their trust in false gods, mostly themselves, and their own ingenuity to do things their own way, even if it be contrary to God's way. But because God will never give up on his people, it's just the kind of God he is. If they will not listen to the preaching of his prophets and turn and repent, then he will use more severe methods to turn their hearts, more unpleasant methods. But he will never give up on them, and he will never forsake them, and he will never stop hounding them to repent and turn from their sin and put their trust in him. So the psalmist describes the despair of Israel, God's people, in Babylon like this. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? In answer to the psalmist, the prophet declares, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah." This is the Judah that lies in ruins and in ashes. "We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." From a song of lamentation and sorrow in a land of captivity to a song of praise and joy in the land of Judah, what a turnaround for the people of God. What a reversal for the people of God. For those who trust in the Lord, there is never a reason to worry or fear, for God redeems his people. Guilt for divine love spurned is removed by God's forgiveness and restoration. From a life of slavery under an evil Lord, there is deliverance into a new life of grateful service under the God who is love. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. The great word for peace in the Hebrew is shalom. Shalom is that inner peace that is confident and at rest no matter what is going on the outside, just because it knows that everything is going to turn out just fine, just because it knows that God is in control. And with God, all things work for good in the lives of those who love Him. It is, however, entirely possible that this inner peace is based on nothing more than false naivete or misled confidence in the power of positive thinking. For some, its basis is drugs and alcohol. But for the one whose mind is stayed on Thee, whose mind is fixed where true joys are to be found, whose hopes are based on the God who never faileth, whose house is built on the rock and not on the sand, there is perfect peace. I love the poetry of the Hebrew here. There's actually no word for perfect here in the Hebrew. It's not in the text at all. In the Hebrew, it reads, "Thou shalt keep him in shalom, shalom, peace, peace." By repeating the word twice, the Hebrew wants to say this is a deep peace, unlike any other peace that this world has to give. A perfect peace, as only God Himself, who is perfect, can give. Shalom, shalom. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. To be kept by God is to be safeguarded by the one who is strong enough to protect you and deliver you from all evil. He is almighty, after all. There is great peace in knowing that you are being kept by one who is strong enough to keep you from all harm and danger, even from the devil and hell itself. Through Moses, God commands that every time his people come together, Moses' brother Aaron is to bless the people with these words: "The Lord bless you and keep you." What a wonderful gift of peace we have when we know that we are being kept by God. The psalmist prays, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord shall keep thy coming out and thy going in from this time forth and forevermore." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. To trust in God is to put all your eggs in one basket, and that basket is God. Not like the double-minded man that James writes about, who is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed about by the wind, or as Jesus describes, the one who wants to hedge his bets by serving both God and mammon. The single-minded man is the one whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee alone. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What a wonderful theme verse for one's life. And I think that anyone who knew John Hilton would say, what an appropriate theme verse for his life. And yet, if we are going to be completely honest with each other here today, I think that we must also say that this theme verse does not fit John perfectly. In his 74 years of life, John never actually attained that perfect peace that God promised to him, whose mind is perfectly stayed on thee, who perfectly trusteth in thee. A six-way heart bypass is all the testimony we need to understand what I'm trying to say. His mind was never perfectly stayed on God. He had his doubts and his fears, and he worried about things. just as we all do, because we are all mortal. And all mortals are plagued with doubt and sin. His trusteth in God wavered from time to time, as it does for us all. But there is one whom this verse does describe perfectly, one whose name also begins with a J. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isn't this the perfect theme verse for Jesus Christ? But then again, isn't the whole Bible the theme song of Jesus Christ? Even as he is taken into captivity by the high priest of Israel and the governor of Judea, even as he suffered the punishment that was really ours to suffer, unjustly accused of crimes he did not commit, but we did, brutally beaten, nailed to a cross, even as he hung suspended above the world that he himself created, his mind is perfectly stayed on God the Father, in perfect trust in God, God the Father, keeping his only begotten Son in perfect peace. By raising him from the dead on the third day, God declared for all the world to hear, "Behold, the Prince of Peace." Just listen to him. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace be with you." St. Paul writes to the church declaring, "For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I don't know about you, but frankly, I find it to be a great relief that I do not have to stand here before you today and somehow try to persuade you that John Hilton was good enough or faithful enough to attain this perfect peace that only God can give. How refreshing to be able to say, through faith in the one who is good and who is perfect, Jesus Christ our Lord, all that is his becomes ours, and all that was ours became his. There is one more thing yet that I think needs to be said about this verse if we're going to get to the bottom of it. And that has to do with the tenses of the verbs. Elizabeth, this is for you. "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's all present tense. That is to be the theme of our life in the now, in the present. But notice, please, that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace is in the future tense. As long as we are in the present, in this life, in this world, in the now, this perfect peace of God will never be fully realized by us, because we will always be surrounded with temptations and doubts and fears and sin, and we are weak. But when we leave this life and this world and move from the now to the then, from the present to the eternal, then we will know God's perfect peace perfectly, fully, and completely. In that day shall this song be sung, and today in heaven that song is being sung to celebrate the fact that that day has now come for John Edward Hilton. What lies in the future for us who still live by faith has become the present for John, and he sees it by sight. His life of faith is over. Faith that is based on what is not seen has run its course and it's reached its goal. What was not seen is now seen. What was mixed with doubt and fear and worry is now perfected peace. By the grace of the Almighty God, through the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, John knows in full what he had only ever known in part. He knows that perfect peace that the Lord his God kept for him all along. Today, in the present, in the now of eternal life with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, this song is being sung. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Amen.